God's 7,000-Year Kingdom Seminar. You will see the Bible come alive as you see the centuries unfold before your eyes. Dr. Dorothy C. Youngblood, co-founder of Conservative Theological University, will present a 7,000-year world history and Bible timeline, revealing God's world history, past, present, and future. Recommended for pastors, Christian school teachers, Bible students, and homeschoolers. It all happens Saturday, August 27th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. A light lunch will be provided. Registration is $99 and includes syllabus, lecture, and the light lunch. You will never view the Bible in the same way after you attend this powerful, informative seminar presentation. It's God's 7,000-Year Kingdom Seminar with Dr. Dorothy C. Youngblood. Saturday, August 27th. Register now. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest today is Kyan Michaels. Kyan is running for the Florida House District 16. She's one of 3 candidates. And may I do a little footnote on that? I believe the better of the 3 candidates. She's endorsed by our governor, Governor Ron DeSantis. And we're talking with her about some of the goals and aspirations once she's seated in Tallahassee. Kyan, again, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to what God is going to do when you represent us in Tallahassee. Tell us, if you would, Kyan, take about a minute or two and share with us the 3 top things. If you had 1, 2, 3, the top 3 things you want to start accomplishing once you're seated in Tallahassee, what are those 3 main things?
Sure. I want to expand the parental rights bill. Currently, it stands as the children are protected from kindergarten to 3rd grade from the ideology of CRT and being taught about sexual orientation, those kind of conversations that should not be any teacher should be having with children. I want to expand that from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade because I don't believe that conversation needs to be had, period, other than the parent. And I was saying before we went into a break that I really want to invest in mental health services as well as medical care with our seniors and our veterans, because it just should not be that we have senior citizens who, and I'm talking to them on a daily basis as we do or not, they're having to decide, can they pay their bills this month, or are they going to be able to eat? And that should not be in America. That should not be in our state. Our governor has been a wonderful governor in protecting and investing into all of us as Floridians, our seniors, our children, all of us, our veterans. And I just want to continue that on and just push the envelope even further as a legislator. Again, I don't believe, and it really upsets me that veterans are sleeping on the streets. Veterans are not getting the care that they need, that they're out in this 100-degree heat on corners begging for money, begging for food, but we have illegals And there's a difference between illegals and legal immigrants. Legal immigrants, they want to be American citizens, and that's what we want. We want people who want to be here. They don't want to come here and bring their culture and their country with them and to change our country. They want to be an American citizen. They're proud to be American citizens. And if there's anyone who's as upset about what's going on with these open borders as we are, it's the people who did it the right way, who paid their money, who waited. And they're proud to be here. So there is a difference. So when I say illegal aliens, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the people who did it the right way. I'm talking about the people who are breaking into our country, who are being let in, who are being, just infiltrated all over the country. They say there's 1 million. That means there's over 2 million. So we've got to get a handle on that as a state, and I believe that we can. There's a lot of things that we can do. So that's on my radar to make sure. So those are my top three, is the parental rights bill, expanding that, and providing more, investing more in our seniors, for our seniors and our veterans, and also dealing with the immigration crisis that we have, because we have to. Now it's at every town. It's at every city. This is not just a border issue anymore.
Kyan, you touched on the teaching the CRT and the indoctrination and the sexualization of our children in the schools, and now the protection is through the House Bill 1557 that was signed into law by our governor that protects the students kindergarten through the third grade. And I am very, very delighted to hear what you've said in relationship to that. But let me ask you a question. In that legislation, which is now law, went into effect July the 1st, in that legislation makes it illegal for a teacher or for a school to disavow, disobey, and to circumvent that law. And yet right here in Duval County, we have under the auspices and the leadership of Dr. Green, the superintendent of schools, that has received our school board to receive $7 million from the Wahlbergs, Wolfbergs, whatever the name is, head of the ViStar, that's funded $7 million in order for that to continue to be taught in our schools. And according to Charlotte Joyce, a school board member, that's revealed the fact that secretly, through the pushing of the school board superintendent, that they've been still teaching the CRT and the LGBTQ sodomite agenda because of using funds that's been donated for that purpose. What should take place in Duval County and or other counties in the state of Florida that disavow, disallow, and rebel against and refuse to obey Senate House Bill 1557, which is now Florida law? What should we do? How should the parents respond? And I'm saying this because I've been advocating on this broadcast for parents to be up in arms and demand that it cease and desist here in Duval County, and or ask Dr. Green to resign or to cease and desist disavowing and disobeying the law. The school board refused to vote just to receive a recommendation for the fact that 1557 is law, and it was going to say that the teachers would adhere to the law. They refused to do so. What should be the recourse for that?
Well, I think because they are having money that's pumped in, and you know, with the understanding that not all of our teachers agree with this. We do have some great teachers who don't agree with this at all. For the ones who are, they're bent on just doing what they want to do, and we know that this is a demonic agenda, because it didn't just happen. This is something they've been working on. I believe that there has to be tougher penalties, including even if it's jail time, even if it's removing them from that seat. If you cannot obey the law, if you cannot follow the law, then you're breaking the law. So hold them accountable as any other person that's breaking the law. And I'm adamant about that, because it's not until they're removed from that position of power that I think we even have a chance of getting people in there, even if we have to have special elections to replace them. Absolutely, the parents being more involved, you know, continue to go to the meetings. I went to one, my husband and I, not long ago, and was appalled at what I was hearing. Mm-hmm. And to have the members of the school board, majority of them, with the exception of Charlotte Joyce, rolling their eyes at the parents, uh-huh, and making these, you know, just horrible gestures. That's unacceptable behavior. And I believe that the parents continuing to push back against these our school board members who are so vocal and so adamant on doing what they want to do, I think that that works. And I do think we've got to look at stiffer penalties. We have to look at being able to remove them. Just take them out of that seat. If they don't want to obey the law, remove them.
I'm in full agreement with that. And, Kyan, if you would, hold your thoughts for just a moment. I believe we have Vanessa on the line. Vanessa, go over with your question and comments, please.
My question is, how does Kyan, as a black conservative, deal with the white male establishment going up against them? How does that work? How does that feel?
Kyan, I'll let you feel that question.
You know, I expect to have the attacks from opposing party, but you don't expect it within your own party because, you know, we are all, at least I am. I am running because I want to make a change. I know that from what our constituents are saying at the door, what the voters are saying at the doors, is they do not want the same old stuff that they've been dealing with. They don't want more politicians who's already been in there. They do not want people who didn't do anything when they were in there. They do not want lawyers. They do not. They're very specific. They want fresh faces. And it's been incredible and sadly to see how our party has allowed the attacks against someone who is of a different race, because, you know, I'm really being careful of not making it a race issue, but because the question was asked, it's the reality. The reality is that I don't look like the typical Republican conservative that's running for a state house seat. I mean, the last time we had a black female conservative in the House was Jennifer Carroll. That was 8 years ago. We're in 2022. There's nothing wrong there.
Well, Kyan, for the benefit of Vanessa and others that may be listening, let's face it. God does not rule based on the skin color or the ethnicity. It's based on the heart and the intent of the heart and what we're doing.
Right.
So I am thankful for you and your stand and what you're doing. And without calling any names, I can say that I am familiar with the past history of those that have been in the office in the seat that you're vying for now. And I find it a dismal failure as to what they have accomplished in that period of time. It's become a political, if you please, shoe-in, where there's the mindset that I deserve to go back in. And so they are angered because you're running and getting traction for that seat. And so I can commend you for that. And it ought to be on the basis that we are honoring God with what we're doing, because let me restate what I said in my monologue. God created civil government, and civil government is designed by the word of God, by the hand of God, to be a servant of God and to prosecute evil and protect good. And regardless of the ethnicity, that ought to be the mindset, the heartbeat, the modus operandi for anybody that we put in office in Tallahassee and the local governance here in our city and in our nation. Kyan, let's move to another question quickly. Our time is, as the little boy says, collapsing on us. How do you stand? Do you advocate something that is known as the constitutional carry? What is your position on the Second Amendment rights for the citizens with what is called constitutional carry?
I totally support constitutional carry. You know, I would love to have open carry. If it was my choice, that would be my thing, because I think there's some strength in people not, you know, they may want to think twice if they know that you actually are able to stop them from attacking you, if they actually can see that you can stop them from attacking you. However, the constitutional carry, it's amazing that we're at this place where we are having to even vote for something like this, because it's already in our Constitution.
Absolutely. I mean, it ought not to be a question. It ought not to be a question up for vote on or to battle, because our Constitution says in the Second Amendment that it is not to be infringed upon. And if there's anything that is a control or a factor that says this you can and cannot do, that's infringement on that Second Amendment right. So I'm in full agreement. Kyan, there's a Senate Bill 7014. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, Senate Bill 7014, which was the 2022 bill number. It was passed by the House and the Senate, signed by our governor. And though we've got a wonderful governor, I will say I disagree with what we're doing with that, because it is a complete immunity bill giving immunity for doctors and hospitals and any medical professionals as to the treatment of COVID patients. If they treat the COVID patient based on the CDC guidelines, they can literally murder the patient, and they have no there's no remedy for the family to come against them. We have 29 states in the United States of America that has the full immunity law. I am asking a question based on the passion that I have for this issue, because a hospital in Virginia, though that's a separate state, tortured our 56-year-old son to death after 71 days, tortured him to death, and nothing we could do as parents or relatives or family to intervene, because they were following the CDC guidelines. They have total immunity. I am totally against it. There's not another profession, there's not another industry, there's not another trade in America that has such a law that, regardless of what that law allows them to do, that they have total immunity in carrying it out. Now, my question is, and I don't want to put you on the spot, my question is, do you feel that it is honoring God? Do you feel that it is honorable as a citizen in this state, in the state of Florida, to have a family member that could be tortured to death by the medical profession, and yet no recourse for the family if the family wants to charge them with malpractice in any fashion that took the life? And yet that is where we are in the state of Florida. Would you have any interest in sponsoring or co-sponsoring a bill that will absolutely cancel the Senate Bill 7014 that's now in effect in the state of Florida? And a little caveat and footnote on that for your interest, Cayenne. I had the privilege of talking with all of our Duval delegation. They all voted for it. And they said it's because the governor said that he needed it, because if we did not, then the lawyers would sue the hospitals out of business. And yet Ascension Hospital Group, which is one of the largest hospital groups in America, made a $1.9 billion profit in 2021 as a result of having the total immunity. That was a 573% profit for that year over the previous year. They are not being put out of business, but it forecloses the possibility of parents, of family members, of husbands or wives, sons or daughters, having any recourse against the medical malpractice that's been taking place in America. Now, I've said a lot. Filter down to it. How do you respond to that? What are your thoughts? Cayenne, are you there? Cayenne, are you there? Evidently, we've lost. I cannot hear you, Cayenne, if you're speaking. She's probably on the cell phone and lost the signal then. Ladies and gentlemen, until we get reconnected with Cayenne, I'll simply continue the thought on that Senate Bill 7014 that went into effect. During my conversation with the Duval delegation, they all agreed that they were voting for it, not because they've read the bill, not because they knew the bill, not because they knew the language or the intent of the bill, but because the governor said that it was needed. I'm opposed to that, regardless of what the governor said in relationship to it, because it forecloses the potential of any redress, any recourse, or anything that could be done to help the families that have lost family members as a result of the malpractice and the murdering, as I call it, of patients if they're put in the hospital based on COVID. The hospitals have major, major, major profit margins as a result of that. if they put your son or daughter, a family member, in the hospital and give the ventilator, they get a $300,000 cha-ching in the cash register for it. If they call it, register that patient as COVID, they get an additional $48,000 to $77,000, depending on the community and the neighborhood and the state, for reimbursement from the COVID CARES Act funds, which are federal funds. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the major things that we need to recognize is there's a need to vet the candidate, have candidates that honor God, have candidates that are willing to take a stand on the Constitution and on the biblical text in relationship to the decision they make in the leadership role in our states and in our city and in our nation. Because right now we're watching a government totally out of control. Kyan, one of the questions, and I'm sorry that somehow we lost you there for a moment, but what are your responses? Did you hear my statements in relationship to Senate Bill 7014?
I did. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Thank you.
I don't know what happened, but Dr. Youngblood, I wanted to, most importantly, I just wanted to extend my sympathy and my husband's sympathy on and our condolences on losing your son in such a traumatic way, losing a child, period. We know what that's like, and it's,
yes,
no one can even imagine unless you endure that. So we definitely can relate to what you're feeling right now and what you will be feeling going forward, and I'm sorry that that happened. Now, in relation to the question, the Senate Bill 7014, I'm not aware of that bill. I'm not very rehearsed in that bill. I've heard somewhat about it, but I'm not sure. I really need to look into it more and understand it more. I do know that because I've been so engulfed with the campaign and not really aware of all of the bills that have gone through. Some I know I'm familiar with. This, unfortunately, I'm sorry I can't expand more on.
That's all right. What I would do would be urge you, encourage you, and prayerfully ask you to examine that wording and terminology, because when it was put into effect this year, it's supposed to expire July of 2023, and I believe that it should be dead on arrival, even as the new session takes over in the first part of next year. So I would urge you and encourage you to give prayerful consideration to analyzing that. And the other things, two or three things very quickly in our time. We have the need to have and you touched on it in your introductory remarks about wanting to do something to protect the unborn. That's called the Heartbeat Bill. And I believe that is vital. And so I'm thankful to know that you take a stand for the ones that's in the mother's womb that cannot defend themselves. Yet we have those that, I used this as an illustration recently. I watched a newsreel recently on local television where they were showing the little loggerhead turtles that had just hatched out, all crawling toward the ocean, going to the water. And the news person that was the anchor talking said, wouldn't it be a shame to see these beautiful little creatures be harmed or hurt or killed by others? And I thought, there you are, you're concerned about the loggerhead turtles, and yet there's an open season to the murder of the child in the womb. And I'm thankful that you stand with the biblical concept, the biblical precepts, that every life is valuable, that God created us, and that we should protect the life of that one in the womb. But Kyan, I noticed on your website, and you're familiar with this, that you stand for, and there's several things. I'm going to read some of them out. Conservative values, core family values, immigration enforcement, and law enforcement. You've touched on the basic immigration and law enforcement. Talk with us about, for a moment, what are you meaning, conservative values? Explain that. I understand it. I want our listeners to.
Sure. And that is that we don't believe in, with conservatives, we do not believe in the breakdown of the family. That is, I really believe, is the nucleus of a lot of problems that we're facing right now, and we've been facing, is that the family has been under attack. The breakdown of the family has been under attack. The separating the children from the families, taking the rights of the parents away to have a say-so on how their children, anything pertaining to their children. Our strong conservative values is that we love our country, and that we will stand for our flag. We will stand for our law enforcement. We will stand for our military members that are out fighting for us to remain free. We believe that we live in the best nation that there is, and we believe that we have to bring back the teaching of our Constitution, the teaching of our country, our nation, our history needs to be back into the schools, because we're bound to repeat history if we don't learn from it.
Absolutely.
And we believe in supporting and having respect for godly principles. And God We Trust is what we have been founded on. It is what our nation has been standing on, and we've seen it quickly and fastly, and, you know, at a slower pace at the beginning, being eroded away. So as a conservative, we know that our foundation of belief for everything, it goes back to Christ. It goes back to biblical standing. And, you know, even looking around our cities, we used to have Christian bookstores everywhere, and they're nowhere now. I think we have maybe one, you know, and you have to go all the way across town. And that really does say something. It really is an eye-opener. And then we have
to... say that. We have more pop shops today in Jacksonville than we have Christian stores. That should tell us where we are as a society. Kyan, listen, we've got about 2 to 3 minutes on our broadcast. I'd love for you to tell our people, our listeners, how they can reach you, what they can do to support you, how they can stand for you, how they can financially support prayers, support you with finances, support you with door knocking. Tell our people, tell our listeners what you need, how they can reach you.
Sure. I need door knockers, but most of all, above all, I need prayers. We are up against righteousness versus wickedness. And I need the prayers of the righteous. I need you all to pray for me, pray for my family. This has been just an incredibly just barrage of negativity that's been thrown at me, and we don't want any of that to ever stick. We don't want any of that to even have air or have any motion about it. So I do believe in the power of prayer. And I can be reached at 904-438-4004 or on my website at kyanmichael.com. And that's KyanMichael.com. And I need door knockers. I need people that's going to be able to stand at the polls, at the polling precincts. I need help now at the polling precincts just to wave signs for me. Now and also on election day, and anyone that's willing to knock on doors. My husband and I go out every day. We're still out knocking on doors and just to get our message out. And so I need that help. But most of all, I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for standing with me. And I thank everyone who has gotten on to the Kyan Michael team. And let's go ahead and bring this across to a victory. And we're going to wave the banner of Christ as we do so.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Kyan Michael, District 16, the Florida House of Representatives. I believe the better candidate, and we invite you to pray for her, contact her, and see what we can do to see that she is seated in Tallahassee as our representative. Kyan, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.